On today's episode of The Reminder Remedy, we are going to be getting into some happiness habits and talking about how what I like to call Pinterest perfect and how it could be potentially hurting us as women. So we'll talk about the paradox of choice. Obviously, freedom of choice is something that is so valuable, but how can having too many choices be paralyzing us? Then we're going to get into this concept of satisficers versus maximizers. I've even taken the time to do the assessment and quiz with you on this episode. I'll share with you what I learned from some of my favorite books, The Simplified Life and Essentialism. And then we'll also talk about self-regulation and decision-making and how we can avoid decision fatigue, which is really, really affecting us negatively in today's world. Let's get into today's episode. You are now listening to the Reminder Remedy podcast with Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything you got to flourish exactly where you are. We believe the world needs happier women, so we provide tools, tips, and life hacks based on the research of positive psychology. This helps you rediscover your strengths while increasing your overall happiness and productivity so that you can take action today. When women flourish, everybody wins. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back, guys. So as a mom of soon to be four, as a business owner, a wife, I mean, so many other titles that we could truly give ourselves. One of the things that I have had to be super intentional about protecting is what we will refer to as my psychological capital. So you can in layman's terms call that protecting my peace, preserving my sanity, conserving my energy. Because ultimately, when I think about my energy and the level of exuding energy that it takes to live my life, I really don't have any to spare. It is what contributes to my happiness and my overall life satisfaction is my ability to psychologically get through the day, which stems from, am I able to keep my energy levels up and control them based on the activities that I choose to do. So honestly, one of the things that I've always found as a strength of mine is my ability to make quick decisions. I remember reading Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, and he actually listed this and considered this one of the many traits of successful people. And when I think about some of my own life-changing decisions, I've made them pretty quickly. I haven't ruminated on them too long. I've kind of weighed my options and just pulled the trigger, which most times fare well, sometimes not as much. But honestly, for years, I always felt guilty about not being that person who kind of compares multiple options. I can remember in undergrad for the Deltas, when I was on the fundraising committee, we would always have to, of course, bring at minimum three different options for anything we were recommending, whether it be venues or vendors or whatever budget. And just having to sift through so many different choices was always just like a headache for me. And so when I kind of started studying this concept that we're going to talk about today, I found the weight of that guilt of making quick decisions or not taking too long or looking at 50 million options, I decided that that's no longer going to burden me because it actually is a quality that has contributed to my happiness, apparently. So today I want to discuss how our freedom of choice and kind of this idea of trying to make the perfect choices all the time. I call it Pinterest perfect syndrome, you know, whether that's trying to take the perfect picture, select the perfect pictures for the feed, pick the perfect schools. This has been like my latest source of energy depletion is trying to find the ideal school for my children. Perfect job, clothes, the perfect meal plan for our new diet, website templates. I have seen so many people invest money in different logos and because it's just like, oh, I go here. And the next thing you know, 50 million other ads start following me around, templates for my website or for my Instagram feed. And now I don't know what to choose. Colors, you know, it's just endless choices. I think that Americans are factually known to have the most amount of choices when it comes to ice cream flavors. Like we rather select from 51 flavors versus 6 or 7 gelato flavors. That is a known fact. And we think that it actually helps us. But the research has found that having an excessive amount of choices is actually driving us bananas. And it's really depleting our much needed psychological capital. So I want to first say that obviously freedom of choice is a good thing, right? I'm not arguing that, you know, choice brings autonomy and control and freedom, right? It kind of allows us to really align ourselves in a way that makes sense for us. Especially when we think about raising children, it can help them also develop autonomy and just a strong sense of oneself. And the research shows that autonomy in itself is strongly correlated with life satisfaction and well-being. So being able to make decisions for ourselves is absolutely necessary for us to feel whole and complete. Honestly, I can't even imagine life without being able to make these choices. In itself is a blessing, and life without choice could probably be unbearable. But my question that I'm posing and the things that I want to explore today is, can having too many choices be dangerous? And when trying to really deal with what we would call decision fatigue, right? When we have all of these options, how we want to lay things out, the decisions that we're making every day, you know, is it taking up too much space where we could be doing things that ultimately could contribute more significantly than the amount of time that it takes for us to make these decisions? So I think about a lot of my coaching clients, when they come to me, they are feeling very bogged down by the lack of decision that they're able to make. So whether it's the next best step for themselves, what is my priority right now? What is the business that I want to launch? You know, what is the cleaning service that I want to hire? I could name so many different things that during session 1 and 2, 90% of my clients are dealing with having to boggle through so many decisions to make, so many things that they have to give homes or priorities, that the overwhelm is typically what prevents them from moving forward. If they're looking to meet a certain goal, it could be because the 10 steps required to get there would require 20 additional decisions, which has just completely left them spent. And so I was very intrigued by the study that Dr. Barry Swartz did, and he's the author of The Paradox of Choice is a book called The Paradox of Choice, Why Less is More. And he talks about two types of decision makers, maximizers and satisficers. And yes, to satisfice is an actual word. And so let's just quickly define those. So satisficers are those who make a decision or take action once their criteria are met. So these aren't, you know, just people who make mediocre decisions or just kind of like, oh, whatever. It's just when you get to the point where you're like, okay, this checks off these three boxes that are important to me, i.e. my criteria, I am ready to make the decision and move on. Whereas maximizers want to make the optimal decision. So someone who is a maximizer, they may have found a photographer that they absolutely love. They've hit all of their criteria. They've compared them to a few people, and they know that more than likely this could be a great choice for them. But they really can't make a decision until they have examined every single option or a significant amount of options. And so in his book, Dr. Swartz actually argues that satisficers tend to be happier than maximizers. And this is really because maximizers typically spend a lot of time and more energy trying to reach a decision. And then after making the decision, they're often anxious about whether or not they made the best choice. And I know some of you all are listening right now, like, oh my God, Alina is completely calling me out. But I wanted to really kind of have this moment where we could, to some degree, define ourselves. And what you'll find in the research is that a lot of people have satisficer and maximizer qualities, but in different areas of their life. So let's just be frank, nobody's better than the other. You know, like I could be a satisficer in certain areas when it comes to, you know, deciding on what move I'm going to make next in traffic, but it may take me a whole 2 hours to figure out what I'm going to order from DoorDash. I have to go through all 500 bad choices. So I'm not trying to pin this category on any one person, but I do want to tackle what I think is a huge source or a relevant conversation when it comes to us thinking about being intentional around our happiness, creating a flourishing life. So many of the small details, especially when it comes to us having to make so many decisions every single day and us dealing with decision fatigue without even knowing it, could be a huge opportunity for us to kind of gain back some of that space in our lives and contribute in a more positive way. So I would actually love to take this quiz with you. And so if you have not already joined the Flourishing Women community, our membership site for self-coaching, head on over now, press pause and go to any of the relevant links, whether it's my website, my Instagram page, pop in there and go to the assessment section. I'm going to add this assessment in there, but this is actually a really easy, quick one that you could probably just do while you're listening. Because I'm curious to see what you all are. And I'm going to redo mine with you all. All right. So basically, the scale is from 1 to 7. 1 being completely disagree. And 7 being completely agree. And so you will score yourself 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? On each question, only a few questions. And then at the end, we'll add it up. So you'll just kind of mark your question. 1, completely disagree. 4 is right in the middle. 7 is completely agree. All right. And I'm going to write mine down as we do this. So first question. No matter how satisfied I am with my job, it's only right for me to be on the lookout for better opportunities. If you completely disagree with this, you are a one. If you completely agree, you're a seven. So disagree is a one, agree is a seven. So I would say for me, I'm going to go with like a three. Because if I'm in a job, more than likely, I'm not really looking for something until I am headed out the door. Whereas I know some people who are every day, it's like, okay, I'm always on LinkedIn just in case something better is out there. All right. So the second question is, when I am in the car listening to the radio, I often check other stations to see if something better is playing, even if I am relatively satisfied with what I'm listening to. So I'm going to go with a one on that, completely disagree, because normally I really don't care. If I'm like, the only time I would probably change it or be intentional is if I just heard the song. But based on this statement, it says if you're relatively satisfied. So I'm going to give myself a one on that. Excuse me. When I watch TV, I channel surf, often scanning through the available options, even while attempting to watch one program. So I'm going to give myself a five, because if I am in the mood for something new, I will absolutely search Netflix for 20 minutes. But if I've kind of made the decision that I don't feel like going through that hell, which we know just surfing through Netflix can be a whole movement, I can easily just go straight to Grey's Anatomy and be completely satisfied. So I'm going to give myself a five. Next question. I treat relationships like clothing. I expect to try a lot on before finding the perfect fit. Whew, that's a good one. I'm going to go with three. I'm very optimistic when it comes to relationships. Like I've never been one of those people either in romantic or friendships that's like, oh, let me shop around. It's kind of like, okay, I'm here in the store. Let me figure out what I'm buying. Let me get that. And if the size doesn't fit, I'll return it. So I'm going to give myself a three on that. I often find it difficult to shop for a gift for a friend. So I'm going to give myself about a halfway mark, because typically, so gift giving is my love language. So I take a lot of pride in the gifts that I give. So what I will say is that I ruminate and I think about how I want the person to feel. But when it comes to, like, if I've decided I'm going to get them a necklace with their name on it, I'm not going to go to 10 different stores to find it. So I'm going to give myself a four, halfway, because I really will think about it and ruminate on it for a couple of days. But once I decide what the gift is, boom, I'm going straight to store number one and maybe store number two. Okay. Let me speed up. Number six, renting videos is really difficult. I'm always struggling to pick the best one. Okay, I'm going to go with a three. When shopping, I have a hard time finding clothing that I really love. Whew, it depends on the event, but I'm going to go with a four. Half and half. I'm a big fan of lists that attempt to rank things. The best movies, the best singers, the best athletes, the best novels. Absolutely. I'll go to a top five best books list and buy all the books. Like, just do the work for me. Give myself a six on that. I find that writing is very difficult, even when it's just writing a letter to a friend, because it's so hard to word things just right. I often do several drafts of even simple things. I'm going to give myself a two. I never settle for second best. Just depends on the situation. So I'm going to give myself a four. Whenever I'm faced with a choice, I try to imagine all the other possibilities are, what the other possibilities are, even ones that aren't present at the moment. I'll give myself a three. I often fantasize about living in ways that are quite different from my actual life. I'm going to give myself a 6 on that because I'm actually a 7 Enneagram, and y'all know we fantasize a lot. No matter what I do, I have the highest standards for myself. I'm going to give myself a 5. I think I have high standards, but definitely not the highest when it comes to certain things. So like I said, some areas we could be satisficers or maximizers. So let's see what I score. And you guys can go ahead and add yours up now. Like I said, if you need to print this out or see it, you can head over and become a member of the Reminder Remedy Flourishing Women's Community, and it will be in the assessment section, which are full of yummy goodies that allow you to kind of see where you are. And if you're not on my newsletter, we just recently kicked off Know Yourself November, which is all about doing the work for self-discovery to give you the ability to understand why you are the way you are and hopefully optimize your life because of those things. So I'm just adding up my scores. All right. All right. So I am right in the middle. So I'm a 49. So if you score 65 or higher, you are considered a maximizer. If you score 40 or lower, you are considered a satisficer. Others who have taken the test range from 25 to 75, average 50, no difference between women and men. So essentially, if you're right in the middle, it's probably common that in certain areas you are a maximizer and a satisficer. So what is most important when you kind of have this knowledge is thinking about what are the areas where you could be potentially getting decision fatigue, depleting your energy. And I want to talk about why it's important to do that. So, you know, this study showed so back in, I think it's 2006 at Swarthmore College, which is where Swartz did this study. He basically looked at some students and assessed them as they went to go seek out jobs, and he found that high maximizers secured jobs with 20% higher starting salaries than those who scored low on maximization. However, in the long run, satisficers had more outcome satisfaction with their job choices, even though their salary was lower. We often find that maximizers are more pessimistic, more anxious, more stressed, worried, tired, overwhelmed, depressed, regretful, disappointed. They are less content, optimistic, elated, excited, and happy. And this kind of results in consequences of us really taking too much time or putting too much pressure on ourselves to make the perfect Pinterest perfect decision. And we're taking longer comparison and decision times both before and after purchase. There's more social comparison. We have less confidence in a decision when we're a maximizer, more likely to experience regret due to foregone opportunities or hypothetical options. When it says you're thinking about stuff that's not even a choice, you just spent 30 minutes of your life thinking about something that absolutely does not impact you. And now it's impacted your entire mood and thus your entire day. More ruminating. Tend to have less effective coping and longer times to recover from adversity. And then in general, just lower optimism and satisfaction with life. As far as satisficers, they tend to settle for really good, right? So we're not talking about mediocrity or something that you don't like. It's just if you typically find yourself spending 5 hours trying to find your homecoming outfit and scale it down to 2, it will actually make the process more enjoyable And it'll make it where you're not completely tied to the outcome of like, was this a hit? And I know that that could be a very sensitive example since none of us ended up at homecoming this year. But I know that it hit home for so many of you all. Satisficers are happier with their decisions. They experience less regret and stress. And then they are able to spend more time on things they feel are important to them, which we know when we think about overall, the goal is to increase our flourishing, our happiness, our well-being. Every day, every single choice that we make when it comes to finding moments for things that are important to us are playing a huge role when it comes to just overall where we fall. So, you know, another thing that threatens to attempt our intentionality around maintaining our well-being is just our overall human nature of adaptation, or what you've heard me mention several times on the show, which is the hedonic treadmill. So this basically, you know, is how we easily adapt to scenarios, right? So we could be pushing for a big goal or want, you know, the dream house or the dream car. And as soon as you go and you get that new Porsche, more than likely, less than 12 months later, is no longer going to be a huge source of joy. You're going to be wanting the next shiny object. And that's because we naturally adapt to our environments. So it leaves us in a position where we're never happy unless we recognize those things and try to take control of them. So if you are a maximizer, you're always trying to maximize these best scenarios, and you really can never have anything less than that. So what's interesting, though, is that society actually praises this, which can become an addiction, right? It's kind of like, listen, I'm always leveling up. I'm never looking back, you know, so it's like we're always trying to outdo ourselves. I've seen a lot of quotes like that. Like, I'm my only competition, you know, I'm only trying to beat my last highest score or whatever. And I get the point of those comments, but really what's happening is we're setting ourselves up for always lacking satisfaction and feeling like we have to find more, which then leads to more decisions to make, more decision fatigue, and just overall just stress and anxiety constantly. So I'll give you some examples. You know, if you are known for planning over the top trips, parties, you know, meals, you know, it's one of those things where you think about like your best trip that you planned, right? And maybe you stayed in like a 5-star hotel, you flew first class, you had a chef come, you had a driver the entire time you're there. Guess what? The next time you go on a trip, you're going to have that or better. Right? There's no more 4-star hotels. There's no more trips where you can't have a chef. And a lot of this is not necessarily because we don't mind settling for less. A lot of it is just that we now are in a space where every experience, every meal, every party is shared. So it brings in this layer of social pressure, and then social comparison, which, you know, we know that if we share a trip and everybody was like, oh my God, I've seen people do this, like, oh my God, your honeymoon looks so amazing. You know, who planned it? Who did it? You're like, oh, I planned it myself. So if everybody has commented on you are the best trip planner, right? Next time around, it could have taken you 6 months to plan this trip. And this next trip is going to take you 9 months because you now have to level up against your last trip and impress or not disappoint the people that have labeled you as the perfect trip planner, right? And so we put these pressures on ourselves. Even simple things like meals, right? There are a lot of people who make Pinterest pretty meals for their family. And this was something that I took away from Emily Lay's A Simplified Life, which I mentioned to you guys that I read earlier in the year, where she was like, you know, I could spend hours in the kitchen making the perfect meal and then setting up the table with the perfect florals and the perfect china, you know, only for it to get shown on Instagram. And by the time that I'm done, like, maybe my kids didn't even like the food, or I barely got to enjoy it because I've been cooking for 3 hours. And so her whole message in that book is choosing to be present over perfect. So instead of me having this perfect meal, you know, that's either perfectly balanced in terms of what the meal is or perfectly seasoned, and, you know, because I marinated it for 4 hours, choosing pizza because I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to make a ton of decisions. And I wasn't tied to the outcome of if everyone in the house is satisfied by the results of it or how the pictures turned out, because I didn't have decision fatigue. It was kind of like, it is what it is. It's pizza, right? And I was able to truly enjoy dinner with my kids. And that, and I, y'all know I always ruminate over this whole dinner situation because kids will just give you a whole headache when it comes to eating food. But it became something that I pinned and kind of put a post-it note in my head when choosing to be present over perfect, because even little things like that, what am I going to plan for my kids this week, can take away from the actual experience of enjoying dinner with them. So even when you think about being on a trip, like, how many times have you been on a trip and you're like, this is absolutely amazing, I'm having a great time, and you find yourself thinking about the next trip, the next shot, the next bathing suit, the next group, the next rental, you know, like, you can't even be present because you are always trying to outdo yourself for the next thing because you've already adapted, right? And so we've also found in the research that maximizers are more prone to social comparison, or what I would even refer to and what is referred to in another book that I love called Essentialism, which is social pressure, right? So sometimes we don't like to think of ourselves of dealing with social comparison, even though all of us do. It's our human nature. So I'll use the term that they use, which is social pressure. And what they found with people, maximizers who are dealing with this significantly, is that at the end of a task, if a peer was given the exact same task, happiness is greatly affected by whether or not they did better or worse than the peer, right? So I'll give an example that is probably most relevant. I'm recording this right after Halloween. And if it took you 3 weeks, 50 Pinterest pages, and 100 websites to figure out what your costume was going to be for Halloween, and you ultimately decided to go with the Beyonce costume, right? You got it hand-stitched after looking through 5 different local seamstresses. And then you shot the perfect video of you doing something from her latest album. And then you woke up on Friday to the girl who went viral, who basically did almost a 15 minute video of multiple Beyonce videos, all of a sudden, because you had such high expectations for what that was going to do for you, what that sharing moment was going to do, you put so many decision-making moments into that, even though what you did was absolutely amazing, because someone outdid you, you now feel lesser than, and you regret the entire process. And you're like, why did I even do this to myself? I did not win Halloween. And I'm exaggerating because I, you know, to some degree hope that we're not killing ourselves over something as simple as Halloween decorations, but especially in a time, or Halloween costumes, especially in a world where so many of us are having to build content and put our creative stuff out there in the world as a way and a form of income, it can be like, you know, an Erykah Badu situation where it's like, I'm sensitive about my shit, right? But it makes you almost go bananas because you're doing too much and it's not allowing you to be in a healthy space. And at some point we have to get to a place where, you know, it's okay if your kid doesn't go to the best school, because in most scenarios, there's not going to be the perfect scenario. What's going to be perfect is if you didn't take 2 years to figure it out, you got them to a place where they're able to flourish, you're able to be happy, you're able to find, you know, a tuition or a free tuition or whatever that's going to satisfy your home life and ultimately allow you to spend more time with your kids because you don't have to work as much. You know, these are the things that we have to think about when we're trading off decision fatigue and ultimately when we make decisions. Okay. So some of the research that's suggested by Swartz in that last kind of bunch of like maximizers being prone to social comparison, and also like us always outdoing ourselves, is that we have an increasing tendency to do the best for ourselves and it's doing us no good. And I kind of flinch saying that because so much of culture and society is all about like, give it 120. But what I learned and what was a game changer for me in that Emily Lay book is like, sometimes it's okay for me to give 80% because 80% is going to contribute to more joy. I'm going to finish cooking dinner and I'm not going to be breaking a sweat, you know, and I'm going to be happy and not an angry mom. Right. So he also suggests that spending too much time living in the future rather than the present. And we'll spend more episodes talking about savoring and mindfulness over the coming weeks. But these are things that I've talked about on the podcast for the last 2 years, is not living in the past, not constantly chasing the future, but finding joy in the moment. And if we have gotten to a place where we're constantly trying to plan the next thing, outdo ourselves, as soon as we do something amazing, we're on to the next, right? And trying to be intentional around capturing when we do that is important. So more savoring, more enjoying the people around you. And then he also says that it suggests that we need to control our tendency to compare. And we know this. And you can do this by making your ultimate goal that the happiness of others is above everything else. And it's interesting because I think I talked about this on the episode with Cherise and Maya, where it's like it ultimately comes down to you can find joy in someone winning, quote unquote, or someone killing it, because ultimately that should be your goal, is to put someone else's needs and happiness over your own, which seems backwards to kind of what society tells us. But, you know, that it's been shown in research that when we can give more to others, whether that's through support, love, financial, it brings us more joy. And just learning how to enjoy the success of others. So I wanted to leave you guys with two things that can really help with this concept of, you know, not being an ultimate maximizer in every area, or being able to capture the areas that you find yourself being a maximizer in, and reducing decision fatigue, because it really is a psychological cost in decision making. And we talked about it earlier in the episode, but I'll just kind of list them off again. You're dealing with stress, anxiety, rumination, regret, the use of just your overall mental energy. And there's been a ton of research done around decision-making fatigue and how, you know, one day of decision fatigue added on to the next day, added on to the next day, can really put you in just this life state of just ultimately being depressed, because you're having to make decisions because you want your life to be perfect, or Pinterest perfect for the sake of this episode. And it just really leaves you in a place where you're less satisfied, less confident, less committed, less likely to act. And I'm sure that you can think about areas in your life where you're dealing with, you know, analysis paralysis, you know, and just really not going anywhere because of your fatigue from making decision. So I want to leave you with two things today. And the first thing is what we would refer to as the decision-making process. And this is something that I do in both one-on-one and group coaching, which makes it at least a starting point for us to think about the priorities and kind of where we go and how we can be to some degree satisfied or make a really good decision versus making it so prolonged. So number one, you want to define the problem, set goals and priorities, and size up the situation. Then number two, you want to gather information. Number three, match the options to your goals. Number four, make a decision or consider alternatives. And you can do so by repeating steps one through three. Number five, evaluate your decision. And number six, use the information to guide future decisions. Okay, so that's just like an easy process. And the bigger thing, though, when it comes to taking that decision-making process and not letting it fatigue you, is to essentially determine your rules that I like to call it, your rule of thumbs for making your decisions easier. So I would, like anything, always help you to understand the value in mindset when it comes to how you feel about this, right? So, you know, you could be listening to this episode and be thinking, okay, yeah, like I can completely relate to that and really didn't even consider it to be a big deal. And maybe now that you've heard a little bit more or a few more examples, you're thinking about how it could be negatively impacting your overall health or your stress or your anxiety or just causing pockets of fatigue throughout your day. But when it comes to making these changes to have a rule of thumb for easier decision making, we have to actually value self-regulation. We have to value limits. We have to value saying, like, I don't want to be the person on a trip planning the next trip. I don't want to be the person that every year I have to outdo my kid's birthday party for the sake of outdoing it, you know. And the reason why I choose not to be that person is because I realize that it does these things to me. It makes me stressed. It makes me anxious. It makes me spend more money than I want to. It makes me increase budgets. You know, it makes me look to my left and my right. It gives me the pressure of wondering, you know, is it going to make this next editorial, right? So you have to figure out what is it that you value. And for many of us, we haven't gotten to that place where we've once again recognized that I'm doing things that I actually don't value. You know, for me, I've always enjoyed experiences and great birthday parties, but I know more than anything, I value my sanity, I value my budget, and I value not feeling like I have to outdo myself every year. So I put a rule of thumb, you know, in my own mindset when it comes to my kids' parties, that birthday parties every other year, you know, milestone birthday parties get, you know, to some degree a custom party if it's right for the season in my life. But other than that, we're doing a out the box party. You know, we're doing Chuck E. Cheese, we're doing a venue, because more than anything, I value these certain things. Otherwise, we can get caught up really, really easily, you know, and that's just one example that came to mind. But it goes back to, like, what is your mindset around this particular area? Another rule of thumb that you can have for making decisions easier is make sure you are repleted. So this is something that I talked about on Instagram on a live where we talk about this idea of ego depletion and energy management. And so we know that one of the things that decrease your energy is making decisions, and we have to make decisions all day. So if you have to make a decision that takes energy, that's actually important. You want to make sure you're in a place where, you know, your blood sugar is right. Maybe you've exercised, you're not already super fatigued from the day. You know, sometimes we get on Pinterest in the middle of the night trying to make the decisions, and it just makes us have 5 days of not sleeping. Not a good idea to try to make a decision when you're already tired. Okay. And then you want to decide on an acceptable number of options that you're willing to investigate within an acceptable time frame before you making your decisions. So I can give a perfect example. Like there's been times where, you know, if I'm Christmas shopping online, I may say, okay, I'm going to go and purchase clothes from 3 stores. That's it. And I'm going to, I'll give myself 2 hours, either consecutively over or over 2 days to get this done. I'm not going to keep coming back to the site. I'm not going to go look for, you know, 5 different pair of cute shoes on 20 different sites. I'm not doing that because at the end of the day, my kid is 3. She doesn't care. And it's going to only harm me. Right. So kind of setting those boundaries for yourself makes a huge difference. And it makes you be less stressed around Christmas. And this is just so important. Right. So after you've made a decision, celebrate the benefits and do not engage in further comparison. All right. So savor the moment of like, boom, I got my Christmas shopping done or this portion of Christmas shopping done in 2 hours. It didn't take me 2 weeks. It didn't take me 2 weeks of energy that led to anxiety and stress and arguments in my house and me having no energy to finish my decorations or me having a piss poor attitude at work. All of these things compound. And while we may not think about them frequently, it's important that we start thinking like this. And this is what we really coach on in our community and in our sessions is being slowing down enough to capture the moments that could spiral into snowballing, compounding effects of depleting energy and making you just a very grouchy and unhappy person. Okay. And then for small decisions, product comparison makes sense, but for big decisions, use and trust your gut. So this is something that, you know, it sounds weird, but it actually can save you a lot of stress, right? So little small things like, okay, you know, which detergent am I going to get? Sure. Compare it to a few other items, 2 or 3 items based on price, store, convenience. But when it comes to big decisions, research has actually shown that it's better to use your intuition and your gut. We have it for a reason, right? So while the comparison to buy a new house may take us down this journey of, oh, I need to go and look at all 10 of these houses one more time. I got to go look one more time. I'm on Zillow one more time. If we get still and we listen to our gut and trust our instinct, what's going to align up to our values in terms of, you know, finances, location, layout, it's normally pretty easy for us to know what's going to stand out. And we can do that without the guilt of feeling like we're not ruminating enough if we shift our mindset around conserving our energy when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to identifying where we are satisfying and where we're maximizing. So some rules of thumb that you can walk away with this episode from when it comes to decision making, create rules that you live by to simplify life. Narrow your options, shorten or eliminate having to make unimportant decisions. Make your decisions non-reversible. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Regret and ruminate less. Anticipate adaptation. How happy will that new bag really make you? Control expectations, curtail social comparisons, and learn to love constraints. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you have not already, head over to our new self-coaching community. We have our very first masterclass happening on November 9th. It is going to be an amazing way for us to kick off our monthly masterclasses, which allow you to sit with me for at least 90 minutes every month and get coached on some of these topics such as maximizers and satisficers and decision making. It's really the educational arm of the Reminder Remedy Company, and it's supported by tools that you can take home, like assessments and exercises, to really allow you to figure out how you can ultimately flourish and become happier. Because guess what? The world needs happier women, and it starts here. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of The Reminder Remedy. Be sure to visit us at thereminderremedy.com for all of our latest information on our workshops, our freebies, and how you can stay in touch with us.